Last time I spoke on start the third day was on Ben Shmona Esrei Lechupo. Some see this as a sequel on international dating, but that's not what I'm speaking about this morning. The international dateline. The connection with this week's Sedra will become apparent. Why the international dateline on Parshas B'Shalach, but one of the major sources for this whole question of how Halacha views the international dateline is in fact based on a Kuzri. Kuzri is one of the first ones who discusses this question, and of course the Kuzri talks about the first Shabbos which took place in Olush. Though Olush, in fact, is not mentioned in the Sedra B'Shalach, as mentioned later in Bamidbar, it's based on Midrashim. Olush is the same as Midbar Sin, and therefore we have a Kabbalah that Olush, based on the fact that Avram said, Lushi Vasi Ugois, when the Malachim came, and that's why it's called Olush. The Medrash says that. And there is, in fact, a machlokus as to whether the first Shabbos was in Olush, and the machlokus in Yishalmi, where the first Shabbos was in Olush, or whether it was in Morav. But we'll come back to that later. First question is there such a thing as an international dateline in Halacha? Let me just perhaps explain, in simple terms, why we need the international dateline. As you know, if you travel eastwards, got the globe here, you can see, if you travel, let's say, from Greenwich Mean Time, which is no degrees longitude, and you go to, let's say, Vienna. Vienna is about 15 degrees longitude from Greenwich. Then, for every degree longitude that you go eastwards, Shkia is 4 minutes earlier. So if you go 15 degrees, we've already gone, Shkia is an hour earlier, so the Shkia sunset in Vienna will be an hour earlier than in London. If you go, somebody is travelling going eastwards round the whole globe, and this problem was already recognised as Mana Rishonim, but of course it's a much greater problem nowadays because of the frequency of, and the speed of travel. Business people going to Japan, flying from one area to the other area, raises problems with regard to Shabbos, with regard to Sefiras HaOmer, with regard to Tefillah, with regard to Tanis. All these problems arise. And it was already recognized in the days of the Kuzri. Kuzri lived in the, was born in 1070, according to their era. And later, the Uzor, who was, I think, was born about 10-15 years before the Kuzri passed away. So the Kuzri, in fact, before the Balamor. And they recognize this problem. So if you're going to someone who's traveling, going eastwards, and same person, his chaver is going westwards, and they both start from one position, he's going east, the shkia is getting earlier as he goes round and round, and he walks for 7 days, and eventually, or travels for 7 days, and he comes to a position where he has to be Mekabel Shabbos, seventh day of Shabbos. Shkia's got earlier and earlier. Someone who's walking around the other side of the globe will be a day earlier, and they'll meet together in the same position because the person going west, Shkia, is as you know, is later, and as he goes 15 degrees, 30 degrees, 45 degrees, Shkia's getting later and later, and the other person going the other direction is getting earlier and earlier. So they're going to be one day out, and they're both in the same position. So what do you do about Shabbos? So that is the problem. What does Halacha say about it? So there must be some way of reconciling this problem. Is there such a thing as an international dateline or not? We have where the internet. Then, having decided that there is an international dateline, the second problem is where is it? I mean, the international dateline which is we've got today is purely arbitrary. It was just thought up by very conveniently, like in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. There's no Yishuv there, there's no inhabitants there. So you put it right down the middle here, you're not going from one day to the next from across the international date lines, which would cause havoc if you got one town and one side of the town is Friday, the other side of the town is Shabbos, is going to cause absolute havoc. Therefore, for that very reason, they decided it should go through the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which is 180 degrees Greenwich. But that was just a notional, arbitrary decision from the international bodies that it should be as such. In fact, from time to time, the international dateline has been changed for convenience. For example, the most recent change in the light was in 1995, where one of the islands here found it inconvenient to be in one hemisphere and wanted to be transferred to the other side, so they just decided to change the international dateline. What would that be a kointalocha? I mean, you can't just sort of change Shabbos from Friday to the Shabbos or Sunday, whatever it is, just arbitrarily change the time of Shabbos because it's convenient. How would that work out to halacha? All familiar with the someone called Pinchas Aropel, or perhaps more better known as Phineas Fogg, who travelled around in 80 days. He was going eastwards, and he thought he'd missed. He ticked off in his logbook. He'd been travelling for 81 days, and he thought he'd lost his wager. When he came back, he found that he'd actually gone 80 days, because if he's travelling eastwards, each time he's missing a bit of the day, because each day is an hour earlier. Every time he travels 15 degrees longitude, the shkia is an hour earlier, and the day getting shorter and shorter. And eventually, apparently in his logbook he's gone 81 days, but because of he's been going around east, when he finally arrived at his destination, he in fact has only gone 80 days. What do we do about Shabbos? Right. Sforno, interesting Sforno. Sforno in Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Emor says, Shabbos hi l'Hashem b'chol moshvei seichem. Apash v'hishet ishtan atchilas hayom v'alaylo, although the beginning of the day and the end of the day change, k'fi hishtanas ha'orach b'gililus mischalfus. This is the version of Sforno. So Sforno already recognized that the times of beginning of Shabbos and times of the end of Shabbos are going to change depending on where you are in the Gililos Mishalpas, in the circle that you take. And therefore, the first Shabbos was dependent on your particular locality. Mikomakam says the Sforno, Tiat Chilas HaShabbos V'Sofa B'Cholechot Me'Aglilos Le'Yoshvov K'fi Ascholas Hayom V'Alaylo B'Galil Ha'hi. Sforno is saying Shabbos is dependent on where you are. The Galilahi, it depends on your shkio at your particular mocha. So Sforno already seems to touch on this problem, that the shkio is going to be different in different places depending on where you are around the globe. Let's go to a Radvaz, a fascinating piece in the Radvaz, before going to the earlier authorities. Radvaz says as follows, Shabbos nimsa lechol echod b'chol mokom shehu. Shabbos is given to everybody according to where he is. And therefore a person should count 6 days, and at the end of the 6 days, he makes the seventh day Shabbos. Ki ha-Shabbos nitan lechol echod kifi mekomoi ashehu dorbei. Shabbos is given according to where you are. U'gedoylo mizu omru, says this Radvaz, Hamahalich b'midbar. If somebody's walking in a midbar, v'lo yoda mosai hu Shabbos, moinevav yomim miyom shato or mekadesh b'shvi. He counts 6 days. He doesn't know where he is. He counts 6 days. Seventh day is Shabbos. And then he carries on. Golev yadua lefonav yisborach, shasidin bonav legalos lekatzvei ha'aratzos. It's golev yadua. It's known in advance. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah, realized this, the Klal Yisrael is going to be dispersed in all the different areas of the globe. The year b'neiyah merchek godel, and there'll be a great distance between all these places where they're exiled to. Uledas kulam hashochnim b'ktzei hamizrich hashabbos lahem kodem hashochnim b'marav. According to all the different days, those who are in the east, their Shabbos comes in earlier than those who are in the west. The nimsu elu mutorim v'lochol is mansha elu asurim. Elot sorech lama ki ha-Shabbos Nitam lechol echad mi Yisroel kefi mekomei. Says this Radvaz, Shabbos is given according to the place that a person is. Now that's all very well as far as it goes. It doesn't really help us if one is going from one time zone to another time zone. It's all very well if someone is going, let's say he starts off from Yerushalayim, and he's walking, he doesn't reach a Yishuv, then he counts 6 days, and the seventh day is Shabbos. So, but supposing he starts off from Yerushalayim, and he comes to a Yishuv where Sunday is the Shabbos, and for him it's the eighth day. Or vice versa. Then what does he do? Now, the Rav doesn't really address that problem. It's all very well to say Shabbos is Kefima Kamai, but you've got a contradiction here, because he says Shabbos is on the seventh day. You count Shabbos on your seventh day. So you're traveling, you count 6 days, and the seventh day is your Shabbos. That's fine. But when you reach a Yishuv, where the Yishuv is keeping Shabbos on the eighth day, that is a problem. And we find, it seems, two strands of thought in Halacha. As I say, first strand of thought is there is no dateline. There is no dateline in Halacha, and therefore, like the Radvaz says, as long as you haven't reached a Yishuv, then when seventh day is your Shabbos. However, if you have reached a Yishuv, then it's a different story altogether. Shmuel Molivar already wrote a tshuva on this. He says, "B'chol mokim shenisyashvu shom b'bnei Yisroel v'huchzik lehem yom haShabbos." So it's getting a rather strange idea here. Who were the first? After all, when Klal Yisrael were dispersed, they started off originally from Eretz Yisrael, later from Bavel, and they dispersed and they went to different areas. Most of them, when they went east. They went from Eretz Yisrael. They went to the east. The people get is a Yishuv in China, Shanghai, and these places. How would they get to Shanghai? So, you have to analyze how they got there. If they came, the first people that started up at Kehillah, when they came to Shanghai, they came from Yerushalayim and they traveled eastwards, then the Shabbos in Shanghai would be based on Yerushalayim. It would be 6 hours earlier than Yerushalayim because you've traveled roughly 90 degrees from Yerushalayim, so about 125 degrees east from Greenwich, but 90 degrees berech from Yerushalayim. So since they're traveling eastwards from Yerushalayim, and that's the way they set up the Yishuv, then Shabbos would be based on Yerushalayim, but of course 6 hours earlier because they're Shkia 6 hours earlier. That's the Yishuv. So anybody else coming there, even if he's flying via San Francisco and is going around the other way, and for him it's 6 days, whatever it is, as long as he hasn't reached the Yishuv, he keeps the seventh day of Shabbos. But when he arrives in Shanghai, and there is a Yishuv there, and that Yishuv was founded on Jewish people coming from Yerushalayim going eastwards, that determines, according to Rav Shmuel Molivar, he's got to keep Shabbos according to the local Yishuv, even though it may not be the seventh day as far as he's concerned. It may well be for that particular Shabbos he's got to keep the Chumras Mimokam Sheyotza Misham for that particular Shabbos. I presume he wouldn't have to keep it the rest of his life, but he comes from the Mokam Shiyotza Misham, but certainly he has to keep the Chumras because that is the issue. That is one point of view. So there is no dateline, basically. It depends where the issue was set up. So you get a very strange situation if some Kehillah were to set itself up in Alaska. It would very much depend where the first people came from. Did they come going from east to west or from west to east as to where Shabbos would be? Nothing to do with a dateline. It's just a question of which direction did they go when they set that up? Shmuel Molivar, most of my information I got from the wonderful Erech in the Talmudic Encyclopedia, and then a footnote, he says, it could be, if a Yishuv was set up by non-Jews, that could also determine it. That's a little bit questionable, but let's leave that perhaps on one side. But there is that point of view. You look at the point of view, at the point in time the Yishuv was set up, which direction were they going when they set up this particular Yishuv? The other point of view is, we don't look at the point of view where the Yishuv was set up. What sort of chazoka is that? That's not a chazoka. You look at it from the point of view of some sort of dateline. Now, how do we determine the dateline? clearly we can't just take an arbitrary dateline of the international dateline. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, why should we choose that dateline? They just put it through the Pacific because that was a convenient place to put it, because there's no issue of that. And in that, we have various Makuras, perhaps two or three main shittas, and that is where the Kuzri comes in, and the Balamor, based on an interesting Gemara, some of us learned fairly recently in Sefer Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Chof in Rosh Hashanah. Says the Kuzri, for example, Omah HaChove, Hascholas HaShavas Enoch Im Misinai Ume'olosh. A bit ambiguous. Is it from Sinai? Is it from Olosh? I would gloss over that point. Is it from Sinai? Is it from Olosh? But that's what the Kuzri says. You look at the first Shabbos. Other sources seem to suggest, but looking at the first Shabbos, you look at Maaseh Bereishis. And when was the sun created? We have different points of view here. The sun was created by Yom HaRavi. And at what point in time of the day was the sun put in the sky? There is a point of view from the Yesod Olam, was a Talmud of the Rosh, and according to his Cheshbon, the dateline Al Pi Halacha would be very similar to the international dateline, because he says as follows, that the sun was put into the rakia, if you like, hukfor lahoir ala oretz, and the or holich mispashit al oretz. And it was put in Eretz Yisrael, because we start off from Eretz Yisrael, because the assumption is that Eretz Yisrael was the world was created from Eretz Yisrael or from Yerushalayim, and it was put in the morning at the height of the power of the sun, and therefore if that is the point in time the sun is put in the sky in Yerushalayim. Work out when the first Shkia is at that point in time. The first Shkia would be at the end of the Yishuv, which is roughly where Shanghai is, which is that, in other words, that is the end of the known Yishuv of those days. They had a point of view. This is what is described in the Mephoshim. You take this globe here, we always talk about the Asor Yuchsin Olam Mibovel. Ten Yuchsin, they came up from Bovel. They go to Eretz Yisrael, you always got to go up. Now, Eretz Yisrael is not the highest land in the world. So what do you mean, Aliyah? Every Yisrael is looked as the highest point in the globe. Well, it all depends on how you put the globe. If you put Eretz Yisrael at the top here, and Eretz Yisrael is at the top, that's how they viewed it. What they viewed, the Rishonim had a view that the Yabosha was only half of the hemisphere. The other half of the hemisphere was Yam. Maybe it's not so incorrect if you put the Pacific over here, but be that as it may, that was their view of the world, that the world can be divided into two hemispheres. The top point of the upper hemisphere is Yerushalayim, and if you tilt the globe in such a way, the lower half of the hemisphere is called Yam. If that's the case, then the end of the known Yishuv is China, and that determines the end of the Sof HaMizrach, Ketzei HaMizrach. And that's the Ketzei HaMizrach, that is where the international dateline should be. We have variations in that. There were those, like Rabbi Chaim Michel Tukhatsinsky and the Herzog at the time of the, when the Rabbi Yeshiva was in the time of the Second World War, Shiloh was sent from the Miri Yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael, and was sent to the Chazon Ish. Same time, Lubin Yeshiva, also in that time, in the Far East, they sent a Shaila to the Ger Rebbe, and the Ger Rebbe referred it to the Yechiel Mechatzik Kadinsky. And Herzog at the time called a conference of Rabbonim, but the one who really formulated the response was Rabbi Yechiel Mechatzik Kadinsky, but they had also Rabbi Sazalman, Rabbi Shiva Zafang, all the Gedolim of the time. And they responded to the Lublin Yeshiva, because that's the request to the Ger Rebbe, and the Ger Rebbe sent the answer back to the Lublin Yeshiva. At the same time, the Mir Yeshiva, who was the Mashiach at the time, was Reb Chatzal Levenstein, sent a message to the Chazon Ish, who was not so particularly well known as yet in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chaznish came back with a different response from the. So therefore, in one Yom Kippur, they were in Kobe in Japan, and according to the Chaznish, he felt that the end of the Yishuv was 90 degrees from Yerushalayim, which is roughly 125 degrees from Yerushalayim is 35 degrees longitude from east from Greenwich. So 125 degrees, which takes you to the end of China, and with some qualifications, where we'll see in a moment. Whereas the Chaznish Tikhatinsky was of the opinion that you've got to divide the globe equally, 180 degrees. If you take 180 degrees, of course, that includes Japan as well. It's actually as much further than the international daytime, because you've got 180 degrees plus the 35, it's like 145 degrees west, whichever way you want to look at it. So they came out with a different point of view. The Nafka Minna, of course, is with Japan and New Zealand and these places, which, according to the international dateline, New Zealand is in the same sphere as Australia, as the east, as the west, I should say, as Greenwich, as London. Whereas, according to the Chaznish, New Zealand and Japan would be in the other side of the, and therefore they'd have to keep, let's say, Shabbos, which would be kept on Shabbos, would be on a Sunday, as far as from our perspective. And that was the caused quite a few problems, as you can imagine. Chaznish wrote, "Ichlu b'Raviv v'tzomu b'Chamishi v'altochushu l'shum dovo." He was scared that they would fast for 2 days. In fact, he sent a message. He wanted the Briskerov to endorse what the Chaznish had written, because, and the fact that Fran Brisk was of the same opinion as the Chaznish, on this it seems, Briskerov wouldn't sign the telegram because he was afraid they would fast for 2 days, and he was very, Briskers were very mapped on health, and therefore because Nefesh, he didn't want to sign. But in essence, he agreed with the Chaznish, it would appear. So he had a machlokus here as to exactly where the dateline should be drawn between the Chaznish on the one hand and of Tikhatinsky on the Rov HaRabbonim of Eretz Yisrael on the other hand. This conference convened by Rav Herzog, which became, I think, the accepted opinion. I haven't got really too much time to go into some of the intricacies of this, but part of it is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara says there a beautiful introduction of the Baal HaMor, and he says as follows: Yesh bekan shalosh shemuas amukos besodeisein bekoshos beperushen. There are three halachas here mentioned in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah da Chofum Beis, which are very very deep, and the perushim are stumos v'nelomos milev rov chachomim. And he has a whole this beautiful language the Baal HaMor writes. You think that Baal HaMor was 19 when he started his perush on the Baal HaMor. It makes one shudder. the gadlus of the Baal HaMor, 19 years old, he started writing his perush. And he writes as follows: there are one of three Mamori Chazal, and he reconciles all three. Rashi, of course, learns differently in the Gemara, but the Baal HaMor, Chaznish says, although the others learn differently in the perush of the Gemara, nonetheless, the Baal HaMor is MS with the Amitah Shel Torah. The Gemara writes as follows: Tzor she lailo v'yom min ha-chodosh. The night and the day have to be part of the new moon. That is, there is a gap between the sighting of the old moon and the sighting of the new moon. There's a 24-hour gap. That's the first statement. Tzor she lailo v'yom min ha-chodosh. And then another statement: Nolad kodem chatzos v'yadua sheniro somach l'shkias hachamo. If the Molad takes place before midday, Molad being, of course, in Yerushalayim, takes place before midday, you should know that the new moon can be seen some of the Shkias HaChamo. So Rashi learns the Pshat, some of the Shkias HaChamo, means that Yerushalayim is the best place, based on Rav Sadia Gaon, the best place to see the new moon is from Yerushalayim, and but there must be, there's no way that you can see the new moon after the Moilad in less than 6 hours after the Moilad. And the only place you could possibly do that would be in Yerushalayim. That's how Rashi knows Pshat. And he says, No let Kedem Chatzos be Yadu Ashenir Asama for Shkiyas Achamo. Lo No let Kedem Chatzos, a molad, what we call a molad zokin, it's the molad is after chatzos. You won't be able to see the new moon by Shkia, and therefore Rosh Hashanah must be the next day. And then another statement is Esrim v'arbo shoi mechasi sihara. For 24 hours, that is between the old moon and the new moon, you can't see anything. You can't see either the old moon or the new moon. There's a minimum gap of 24 hours. And then what it says, shit mi'atiko v'tam nisrei mechavitzo. So both the Kuzri and the Balamor have an original interpretation. What they say is as follows. When it is, let's say, midday in Yerushalayim, then the end of the Yishuv, as we've said, is 90 degrees. That's how the fascination ends, Pshat. 90 degrees, which is, takes us roughly to the end of Pshat. That's the end of the Yishuv, the end of the Mizrach. Beyond that, of course, then that is what you could call an international date line, if you like. What the Gemara is trying to say is, if you go around the other way, it'll be 18 hours to get to that. If you go around west, you get to 18 hours. That's what the Gemara is saying. Shit mi'atiko v'tam nisrei mi'chavito. You've got 6 hours. If the sun is seen at midday in Yerushalayim, then 6 hours. The end of the issue of 90 degrees is already shkia at the end of that whole day, and 18 hours the other way is the beginning of the day at the other end, and that marks the day. So that defines for us, according to Balamor and the Kuzri, that defines for us what is the day. That is the date. You've got 6 hours in front and 18 hours behind, and that gives you the international date line, basically. And therefore, if you cross that day, then irrelevant as to whether you're counting 6 days and this is your seventh day, like the Shmuel Molev wanted to say, and like Radvaz, if you're in that place, then the Mokum demands that it is Shabbos. And that is, in effect, an international date line. Of course, others learn and have different Maseras with regard to that. Let me just conclude, we've got a couple of minutes, let me just conclude with an interesting Parshas Drochim. Parshas Drochim says as follows. He quotes a Medrash, which in fact this is it's a Zohar Chodosh. And the Medrash says as follows. Me'olam lezozo shchina b'Yisrael b'shabosos v'yamim tovim afilu b'shabos sholchol. The Shchina has never removed itself from Klal Yisrael on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shchina is always there on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Afilu b'shabos sholchol. So what's the Pshat? I think the Shabbos Shofar makes no sense. Even a Shabbos of weekday, what's the Shabbos Shofar mean? So Parshas Drochim, says as follows, the Mishnah Melech quotes his father said over from his Rosh Hashiva, said a Pshat like this. Just as there is Shabbos Lamato, so also the Shabbos Lamalo. As we know, the river Sambatian didn't go on Shabbos, then the Shomas relieved from being the Eishal Gehinim on Shabbos. So when is the Shabbos in Shemayim? Maybe Shabbos in Shemayim is in Shabbos in Yerushalayim, but the Shabbos in Yerushalayim is not the same as the Shabbos in Shanghai. It's a different Shabbos. Yes. So how long does the Shabbos? How long is the Shabbos? So the Parshas Drochim Me'olam lezozo shchina miYisrael b'Shabbosos v'yomtiv afilu b'Shabbos shelchol. Even the Shabbos of Chol, even though it's not Shabbos in Yerushalayim, but it's, as long as it's still Shabbos in Shanghai, or Shabbos is yet to come in San Francisco, then even the Shabbos of Chol, the Shchino, the Shabbos Bashamayim, and the Eishel Gehinim no longer burns, and the River Sambatian rests. It's an early original interpretation of the mentioned in the Parshas Drochim. We haven't really got to grips with all the different shittas of where the date line is, which would be a very interesting subject, but I think the main nakuda is two basic shittas. Is there such a concept as an international date line? And you can see from there are those who say there is no concept of a national date line, international date line. You keep Shabbos on the seventh day, wherever you are. If it clashes with the Yishuv, but the Yishuv also established their Shabbos because they arrived at that when they originally came to such a place, they established a chazaka, not because of an international date line, because it was their seventh day when they came there in the first place. So very strange, depends which way around you came there. You can have two different Yeshuvim. One came from one way round, the other one came from the other way round, and in theory they could keep Shabbos on two different days, perfectly legitimately. Or do you say, like the Chazanish and others, the Kuzri and the Resort, no, that you've got to change your Shabbos according to where you are on the globe. How do you define where the international date line is? Well, we have such a concept of Sofa Yishuv. That Sofa Yishuv is defined in terms of Yerushalayim, either where the first Shabbos was given at Matan Torah, or possibly where Shabbos was defined at Maaseh Bereishis. I'm conflicting thoughts on that. Is it Shabbos of Maaseh Bereishis which determines where the international date line, or is it the Shabbos of the in Olush, in this week's Sedra, Shabbos was given, the first Shabbos which was given in Olush, that determines as to where the end of the Yishuv is, based on the fact that the first Shabbos is given Yerushalayim. The first Shkia at the end of the Yishuv would be the place where the international dateline would be.